Mark B, kick things off. Give us your name, age, where you're located, and what you do for business.
Mark Mastrandrea, 38, from New York, live in Los Angeles, California, co-founder, CEO of Iconic.
Yeah, baby. I always forget your last name is not Brazil. I just have gotten to know you so much as Brazil. It's hilarious every time I get reminded of that.
It was not me copying Mark Cuban either. A lot of people think that it was the Mark Cuban, Mark Brazil thing. I just needed a name for Instagram a long time ago and it clicked. But yeah, almost no one knows my last name.
That's fire. I love it. It's like the real ones know. That's what it comes down to. I think I didn't even figure that out until I was like researching for one of our OG podcasts. I was like, damn, this is like a hidden gem.
It's hard to spell and hard to pronounce. So it's just, I just don't even like using it, to be frank with you.
Yeah, I get it. Let's pick up right where we left off. Me and you, right before we started recording, we were talking about phone boundaries. You were even talking about how you're like, I think I might even get two phones, separate personal and business. I think, honestly, it's such a smart idea. The question you asked me right before I was like, hey, let's record this is, what are the like boundaries that you've implemented, right? For me, there's a couple of things that come to my mind. One, no phone for the first 3 hours of the day. Wake up at 6. I'm not even looking at any notifications or anything till about 9 a.m. when I'm sitting down here to start working.
Stop but then, for a second. Say it again. So what are you doing? You have like a Google Home. Like, what's your alarm clock?
I use my phone. So my phone, I got to tell you some psycho shit. Before Do Not Disturb came out, right? Yeah. You would wake up and your notification would be on your home screen, right? Correct. What I would do is I would look at the phone for the face recognition, but I would intentionally like look to the right of my phone so I couldn't see direct noties. I would swipe up my phone, relock it so now the notifications are gone, and I would start my day. This was before focus mode came out. So I was like already then trying to get myself to not get like looped into the dopamine of what are all these notifications, who's reaching out, what the emails are, nothing. But yeah, I use my phone alarm. It goes off. I turn it off. I get on my 2 feet. If at any point in the morning, there's only one thing I'll allow myself to do outside of listening to a music or a podcast, I will check texts and I will quickly skim, is there an emergency? Is my mom, is family, is there anything that is like need to pick up the phone and call someone? If not, I go right back into like my morning routine and I don't look at the phone until 9 a.m.
Phone's in another room, don't touch it till 9.
Honestly, I have forced myself to become so disciplined to it. My phone is with me the entire time. I'll use it for like meditation. I'll use a meditation app for 20 minutes. I'll do some journaling, brain work, and then I'll go to the gym or for a run, both of which I have my phone running, podcasts, in the gym music, but I'm not looking at social media, nothing. And even when I sit down at 9, very quickly, I ask myself, do any of these texts need my immediate response right now? If no, I go right into deep work for 3 to 4 hours. I won't even look at Instagram. I honestly haven't been checking Instagram until about noon every day now. And when I do, it's checking DMs real quick. Is there anything business related? And if I want to, I can look at like a post from the day before to see how it performed. But other than that, I'm being extremely intentional when I'm on the platform and what am I using it for.
What do you do the night before to prep your day? Are you one of those guys that does like power lists and stuff, or you just have a massive to-do list?
No, I don't even make to-do lists until the morning. When I sit down at 9, that's when I will look at my calendar and that kind of already tells me what I need to focus on for that day. Either if it's calls like this, I knew this was coming, or I'll iron out 2 to 3 big priorities. Like today was working on a digital course that I'm working on and posting a content piece that I was working on. Other than that, I wait until the morning of. But you mentioned how, you know, you and your girl have like a dinner at 6:30 every night. That's kind of becoming your healthy internal pressure of like shut off mode. For me, it's 6 p.m. I'll stop working. And then there's not really routine or anything that I follow at the end of the night. The only things I'll call out is some nights I'll do a plunge right after working, because it helps me shift from work mode to like relaxation mode. If I don't do that, the only other things that I've implemented that have been really helpful is pretty much after dinner, I try to not be on my phone and try to be present with my girl. I try not to text anything. I just want to disconnect. We watch usually like 45 minutes to an hour of Netflix. Like we're watching The Office right now. So we'll watch maybe 2 or 3 episodes. 9:45, lights out, sleeping by 10 consistently.
Nice. Since you've transitioned to like these very, very hard boundaries, how do you think that's affected like relationships as far as there's people that you probably don't answer for a day, 2 days, 3 days, versus probably at one point in your life, like so fucking fast, quick. Yeah. Like how has that, have you gravitated more towards people that have the same ideology as you? Do you think you've pissed people off? Like that for me is a very, cause I understand and see like your shift. And I know like I can name all the people on my network and I literally could bucketize them into kind of which party they're in. So I'm curious, like how has your network like responded to what you're doing?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. I haven't gotten any real big pushback from anyone. Like, why is it taking you a day or two to respond? I think most of the people that I've designed into my life present day get it. Like they're busy themselves, or if there's a day or two lag, like I historically won't go more than 36 hours without responding, unless it's the weekend, I might be off the grid. But historically, if somebody's reaching out, I usually will get back to them within 24, 36 hours. The thing I think it comes down to is communicating, and the timing of this is incredible because I actually had a conversation with my mom today on, she was calling me at like 9:30 and she wanted to catch up. And I just had to politely tell her, mom, I love you. But what's really important for me is like in the morning, I try to be distraction free and I just try to focus on my work. Can we like chat this afternoon? And so I called her back 3 hours later and we had a call and we caught up and I just re-explained like, it's just really, it's not you. It's just really important for me in the morning. I just need to focus on my work. So the other thought is just communicating like what your needs are. And I think we have allowed ourselves to believe because we have these phones on us 24/7 that we need to respond immediately because it's on us. But I know some people that, you know, are operating their own business and it takes them a few days to get back to me. And I get it because I just recognize they're constantly prioritizing what do they actually need to focus on? And they're giving themselves that permission to do that. Because the phone and text, most times it's just people pleasing to get back to people. But you have to, I always ask myself, is this absolutely like a priority right now or can it wait? And more times than not, it can wait. And so if it's business communication, I try to get back during the business hours. If it's personal communication, I usually try to wait for the evenings and at night.
Interesting.
So have you felt like you need to respond to people even though you don't want to?
Yeah, 100%. I think like right now I'm transitioning and understanding how to filter what's important and what's not. Like from a business perspective, it was only probably recently where I really started being intentional, and I'll get a decision coming my way and I'll look at it and I'll say, okay, let's look at lift and let's look at impact. From a lift perspective, there's low, medium, high. From an impact perspective, there's low, medium, high. Ideally, I want low to medium effort, medium to high impact. And then from an impact perspective, there's all different kind of more granular buckets underneath that. Impact from a cash perspective, from an EBITDA perspective, from an enterprise value and revenue perspective. So I kind of like look at everything through that from like a business perspective. And then does it make me happy? Am I valued? So for me, like really understanding and knowing like if something is medium impact or let's say low impact, and even if it's low lift, like I would way rather do something that's medium impact and high impact.
Totally.
Medium effort and high impact. So like for me, I've executed that in my business life. And I think now like there's a lot of things that's transitioning in my business life right now. I need to understand how to know what conversations are important because I'm not only doing iconic stuff, I'm starting to look into doing other stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So just identifying that balance. Because obviously Iconic's my main thing. I'm the CEO, I'm running the company. That obviously takes up the majority of my time still, but I'm still kind of trying to understand and not get sidetracked by random conversations. It's very, very hard. I need to come up with a filtering system like I have in business for communication. I don't have that yet.
So have you ever heard of the book Essentialism?
Yeah.
Have you read it? Greg McKeown. Yeah. Have you read it?
I read it and I listened to the Netflix special too. Like,
great.
Dude, I'm very much living like a very, very simple life from like a materialism perspective, how I have my meals. My habits are all very much so atomic habits, but I haven't read that book in a while. Does it talk a lot about communication?
No, but another book that I think we need to get you is Set Boundaries, Find Peace. That's a really great book. I'll send it to you. more so with Greg McKeown, right? It's, he's talking about less, but better. Like the, you eliminate more things and you get further depth, right? Yeah. So from what I'm hearing from you is like Iconic, obviously a huge priority of yours, kind of testing the waters with other ventures, obviously a big priority. So then what I would say is for you, it'd be a challenge for you to kind of think through is how do you compartmentalize your day where you know, these are the hours I want to work on Iconic. These are the hours I want to work on the second venture. And then here's maybe 1 to 2 hours a day. I would say honestly, probably an hour a day where I'm allowing external communication. And then prioritizing that towards the end of the day when you recognize I'm already like kind of tapped out, I'm mentally drained. So if you feel like you're being pulled into too many random, and don't, I'm a people like lover too. Like I know that's something me and you have in common is like, we love connecting with people. We love just like being value add, which is great. I'm not saying you need to stop doing that. What I would suggest is just being more mindful of when are you doing it and how often. If you want to make that a daily thing, great. But maybe it only becomes you're only allowing 1 hour a day from 4 to 5 p.m. where you will take any calls and that's it. And if you're going to take anything outside of that window, it has to be towards the two, Iconic or testing the new business ventures.
It's just, I'm so dialed and disciplined on so many things in my life. And like, I've tried the thing like with my assistant, like, hey, no meetings, you know, first 3 hours of the day. And then just something important comes up.
Why? But how often is something truly like important that needs to be the priority? There's always going to be the exception. My days aren't perfect. There's once in a blue moon, I'm taking a call at 11:30 AM yesterday when I tell myself I'm not taking calls till two, but that it happens. I allow myself to override. So is this something that's consistently happening?
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I've tried it multiple times and it ends up fizzling out. That's like one of a few things, not many, that I just haven't been able to stay disciplined. I think it's really just like understanding for that specific like business objective, like do I have leverage or does the opposite party? And if the opposite party does, then I let them dictate, you know, like an example, like for example, like my lawyer right now, he's helping me out big time. And I was on an important phone call with a friend and he FaceTimed me. And I'm like, hey man, you know, I haven't been able to get in touch with him for like a day and a half. I need him to help me close this deal. So like, you know what I'm saying? So for me, I think that maybe that's a function of I don't have my business or my life in a good enough place right now that I'm still too involved in everything where I can't take myself out of the situation and kind of go at my own pace. We're still going at just like such a fast pace that I just need stuff to get done. Totally. So ultimately, yeah, I still defer to whatever the business needs is kind of over my own personal needs. That's like still the situation.
That's
whether
fair.
Or not, that's the situation.
There's two thoughts I want to add. One is recognizing the season of life, right? So if you feel like that's absolutely kind of where you're at and you need to take on these calls and be flexible, like you just do what you need to do. But secondly, what I really want to hit is the lawyer calling you, you need to hang up on your homie to talk to the lawyer. Like once again, that's like supposed to happen. Like that's naturally going to happen. But I would argue that 90% of the time, if you were really sound and strict about these boundaries and these hours of operating, your team and people would find a way to make it work. And I agree, you need to like, I hate to describe it like this, but like when you're communicating with someone else, you have to ask yourself like, who has the leverage? And like, if Gary Vee wants to meet at 9 a.m. and you're like, yo, I don't take calls till 11 a.m. PST, you're just like, all right, well, I'm going to do it because it's Gary Vee, right? So it's like, you make those adjustments. But I think honestly, more times than not, you have the ability to push things around or to make it work to your best ability.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just those ones where it's not like, it's more like gray area on if I could push it or not. Maybe I just start deferring to pushing it, kind of seeing how it goes. Yeah, but it's just not happening right now. I think a good response is just knowing and understanding what season of life it is.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at. But I definitely need to defer more towards pushing it because, yeah, I'm like, for a large majority of the day, I'm like sprinting on things and I don't have any more, maybe a 90 minute block multiple times a day, but I never have more than like a 90 minute block of like isolated time. It's always like meeting, an hour, meeting, 90 minutes, where the strategy might just be just don't talk to any humans post gym in the AM until
100%. I bet you, let me guess, is that probably, do you feel like the morning after you get back from the gym, you have coffee or whatever and you sit down, like, do you feel like that's your most hyper-focused productive work?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would encourage you, and it's literally the case with every single client I've worked with. It's the same thing. It makes sense. You woke up, you got in some sweat, you're fully energized from the night before. It's like when you have your peak performance. I would challenge you to do your best to create 90 minute minimum, maybe 2 hour boundaries, and pushing all those calls till midday or afternoon, and watch how hyper-focused you get. Like, I truly am amazed at how much output I get on a day-to-day basis during this, I'd say, 4 to 5 hour window. Like, I think I'm honestly getting done in one day what might take people 2 to 3 days, because we're so constantly distracted by our phone, by random calls, by going to lunch with Johnny, getting dinner with Susie. Like, we're getting distracted in so many ways, and we have to sometimes just ask ourselves, like, what is it that I'm actually trying to do, and just respectfully eliminating everything else.
So it's just coffee, water, no interact with phone, probably, and maybe some music. That's it.
Honestly, for me, I sit down, I have coffee. Yeah, coffee, water. I've been fasting till about 11 a.m. I'll work from 9 till 11, 9:30-ish. I'll sit down depending if I went for a run or if I lifted weights. And I'll go distraction free till 11. I'll go make a light breakfast. I will briefly check my phone in between, and I'll just ask myself, does anything need my absolute attention right now? If no, I come back to sitting down around 11:20, and I'll go head down again till 1:20, 1:30. And then usually if I have calls, starts at 2, and then it could be anywhere between 2 and 6 o'clock. But I'm a ninja. I'm a ninja in that morning time. And I recognize, once again, I recognize I've set myself up for the season of life right now. I just left my full-time gig. There's not all these inbound opportunities coming at me. So I'm using that time to focus on building my next digital product. And I'm enjoying this ability to just hyper-focus. But even then, like, I just started a new client. She starts next week. And when we were talking about the times to work for the call, I just sent her 4 or 5 potential options that work in my best interest. I didn't ask her, hey, you know, when's the best time for you to take the calls? And she sends me back 5 times there in the morning when I know I want to be focused. Now I'm in a tricky situation, because do I make one of those calls work for her, or do I just override it and say, actually, can you do any of these calls? So I always take the initiative. If it's lunch with someone, if it's taking on a new client, I'm always being the person to initiate. Here's 3 or 4 potential times that any of these work for you, because it works best for me.
I'm clearly going to try this again starting Monday. We can loop back and see how it works out. But yeah, I think it's necessary, because, I mean, what you're saying too, like, I'm definitely my brain. I mean, I'm up at, today I was up at 3:45. I'm up at anywhere from like 3:45 to 5:30, maybe weekends like 6:30. And I'm fading as early as 5, 6, because mm-hmm. I mean, I'm already like 14 hours in a day. So I do feel like I should just backload anything like social. Like, the fact that I'm waking up and at like 8 a.m., I'm taking like biz dev networking calls.
No. Push that. You like Hormozy?
Of course, yeah.
Do you know how he structures his day?
No, tell me, because.
So I learned this through his wife on a podcast. So what he does is, I think from what I remember, the last call of the day he'll take is at 5 p.m. So he's done by 5:30. If at any time he's starting to schedule calls for next Friday and his schedule's open, first call that he'll offer is 5 p.m. And then the next call he locks in for that Friday will be 4:30 and then 4. So he starts at what he knows is his end point, and he works his way back.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good one.
Because once again, he's recognizing the earlier part of his day is when he is most productive and most effective. So he's creating boundaries for himself to hyper-focus on that time of day, but still recognizing, you know, he needs to do internal calls, external calls, whatever. And so he'll batch them towards the end of his day when he's completely done with like the hyper-focus work. Then he shifts gears to the end of the day with these calls.
That's a cheat code right there. I really like mm-hmm. that. I'm definitely taking that one. Yeah. I think that actually will reverse engineer itself to achieving the first bucket without me even trying.
100%.
I'm taking that one.
Let's go. Right after you. Take that and run to the hills with it, baby.
I don't have any calls at like 5 o'clock or 4:30.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm saying. That you do not need to be taking a 9 a.m. call at all. Push that. Push it to the end of the day.
You want to laugh? I'm looking at Tuesday the 13th, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 to 11, 11 o'clock, 11:30, 12 to 12:30.
And so now your whole afternoon's open, right?
And I'm getting mid-tier work done.
Yeah, because by then you've just had 4 to 5 hours of calls. You're mentally drained. Good luck even attempting to drop into any focus or creative work.
Yeah, we're doing it.
That's a big discovery right there.
Because the reality is my calls were 9 to 12:30, so that's 3.5 hours. So I could literally go 1:30 to 5, and it would achieve the same
thing. See? And you know how much differently you'd feel by the time you get on that first call? You're going to feel great because you just had 3 or 4 hours to drop into deep work for stuff that actually you need to focus on.
I'm with it.
You said you're getting up at 3:45. You got up at 3:45. You feel like you're getting enough sleep every night, or do you feel like that's neglected?
Absolute psycho with sleep. I track my sleep with Aura. Really? I want. Oh, yeah. I mean, me and my girl sometimes go to bed at 8 o'clock. I would say 8 to 9:30. Mondays and Fridays we work out at 4:30, so we got to be up by 3:45.
Wow.
Tuesdays and Thursdays is 6. So we're up at like 5:25, 5:30.
Great.
Wednesdays is flexible, and Saturdays I've been doing this savage trail run. Starts early, so
great. So you're getting plenty of sleep.
That's a huge game changer. It's so crazy, man, because people think like 6 a.m. is early wake up. If you get up early, like before 5, and you go to the gym first, oh my God.
Yeah.
Huge life hack.
Yeah. Do you wake up and go straight to the gym, or do you give yourself some time to wake up?
Oh no, we wake up and we're trying to get as much sleep as possible. So like we've figured out like she needs 15 minutes to get ready, and then it takes us 11 to 15 minutes to get to the gym, and I'll have like pre-workout and creatine ready to go. I'll have my outfit ready to go. Like I literally only need like not even 5 minutes. It takes me longer to brush my teeth than it takes me to get ready to go to the gym.
Interesting. Yeah. I used to be one where I'd wake up and go right into the workout, but now I wake up and it's about 2 hours until I work out.
Yeah. I just think the same thing with what you're saying with the work. I just think every incremental minute that I'm awake,
I get it.
Like, dude, I have no idea how people go to the gym at like 9 o'clock at night. I'm like,
oh, forget it.
Bro, I'm a noodle. At 9 o'clock, like I hope to be asleep by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, or midday. I could never do midday. Like to break my day in half and try to just like go work out. It would feel like the momentum builds throughout the day, and to just stop that, go shift gears, and come back to it would feel impossible to me.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. And sleep, it's crazy because I can't remember in like my early 30s and the beginning of Iconic. Like I don't like vividly remember what time I was going to sleep, but I definitely was getting significantly less sleep. And I know now, like I usually get 8 hours. Sometimes I'll get 6.5, 7. I mean, dude, one time a week, I'll sleep like 9.5 hours to just catch up.
Yeah.
There's just an incremental difference in just my brain. And like for me now, we're at a position where there's a lot of very important things coming up where I have to make every week like 3 enormous decisions. And like for me, I see a direct correlation. Like I bet you if my girl like took account of last week and she didn't know how many hours I slept, like if she actually thought about how I acted that day or how much work I got done, she would probably be able to identify like how much sleep I got. Like that's how much of, I think sleep is the most important.
Yeah, I agree. I think people don't realize that your day truly begins at the end. And it's based on how much sleep you get that then allows you to wake up the next day feeling great.
How much sleep you get? What you on?
8 hours. Usually 8 hours. Yeah. I'll go to sleep at 10, 9:45, 10, and then I'm up at 6. And that works. That's perfect for me.
You tracking? You got the Aura?
8 sleep mattress.
I heard great things about that. Game changer?
Yeah. Great thing. Huh?
what's the difference between the eight sleep and then when you go sleep in a hotel? Are you getting, are you like,
no, I can sleep pretty easily. I'd say the eight sleep has the temperature control, which is really nice. So you can have it so that it's really cool when I go to bed and then it warms up when I wake up. It has a vibration you can turn on for when you want to wake up. It'll slowly, gently wake you up, but I don't have it on because my girl gets up after me. So it does kind of roll into the other side of the bed.
I like that. That's a good
one. It's a really good mattress. I've been using it for like the last 5 months. I interviewed the founder in 2019 and they were probably like a 40 or 50 person team. And I just found out they're about 100 deep now. It's big, big company.
That guy's got like a long Italian last name. What's his name?
Matteo Franchetti, I think.
Yeah, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's a beast of an entrepreneur. You should do a deep dive on him.
I went down the funnel and got closed on it. I got the hostage tape. I'm starting it tonight.
What's that?
It's closed. It's like a tape that you put over your mouth when you go to sleep.
I was testing that a little bit. I have been using nostril ones, but make a
difference for you?
Say it again.
Does it make a difference?
I don't notice it. The real reason I started using it was my girl was telling me that I was like starting to snore a little bit. So we were going through like the ringer and I'm like, I don't even know how that's possible. Like I've never snored in my life. So we've tried the tape. We've tried the nostril one. We've been trying a lot of different things.
I'll come back to you on that review. I'm starting tonight. I'll let you know.
Top of yeah. Week. I'm curious. We got 5 minutes left. Anything else that's top of mind? Honestly, we spent a lot of time talking boundaries and I think you have a good amount of takeaways and kind of things to test and try, but is there anything else that kind of feels, top of mind for you?
I guess my question to you would be all the people that you talk to, what do you see is the number one underlying problem for why people, let's not talk about, forget happiness. Let's talk about getting shit done. Is it the boundaries? Like, I'd love to know, like, what are you seeing from like a trend perspective.
It's in the simplest terms, it's boundaries. It's boundaries with people. It's boundaries with how you're spending your time. It's boundaries with your cell phone. If you can honestly get clear on what you want to do, how you want to spend your time each day, and then you create these boundaries to actually hold you accountable to follow through on it, you're good. I feel inner peace at the end of my day because of the boundaries I've set up in my life. Knowing when I'm supposed to be doing X, knowing that I have these rules for myself that stop me from getting distracted and pulled off track. So that's what helps me feel fulfilled at the end of the day is like, I got everything done. I wasn't distracted. I wasn't wasting time scrolling on social media, watching other people live their lives. But that's the common theme with people that I see doing some of these coaching calls, clients, people know what they want. They just cave to all of the world pulling them in all these different directions, saying yes to things they don't want to go to, you know, trying to people please people. That's the problem. If you have boundaries in place, none of that will be a problem.
Ironically enough, I really don't give a fuck. I was just talking to my girl about how she was like going to something. And I was like, do you think you're going to be friends with that person in 2 years? She's like, no. I'm like, why are you going then? So I need to take my own advice. I literally think this reverse engineer Hormozy thing with the meetings.
Yes.
I'm going to hit my assistant right now. I think that's going to achieve the first kind of major concept that you have, just blocking out the first half of the day.
I think that's a big one. And then the only thing I think you really need to think about, because I know you're doing a lot of calls, is even the calls that are just like the touch point ones, is just ask yourself like, if you initiate the reach out, obviously it's clearly something you want to do or someone you value, that's fine. But if you're getting a lot of inbound and you're scared to hurt people's feelings, just be transparent. Hey, I'm in a busy season of life right now. Can we check back in 3 months, 6 months, whatever you want to like throw out there?
That's tough, baby. That's tough.
I know.
I'd rather not answer.
Nah, don't leave them on. Don't ghost them. Be the bigger person. And it all, you know what it is? The real ones get, hey, I'm in a busy season. I'll follow up with you when the time's better. I'd rather get that response than just be completely ghosted. But that's up to you how you want to run it.
Yeah. You ever hear of this thing called Clay?
No.
I just got introduced to this company. It's a way to kind of manage your relationships. It's almost like a CRM. And it intertwines your Instagram, your LinkedIn, your text, and you can kind of bucketize and label all of your contacts.
Oh, that's smart.
Based on location, they're your fun friend, your business friend, your fitness friends. I'm actually going to spend this weekend and do that. I think that's a good thing from a boundaries perspective too, that I can start like compartmentalizing what type of relationships these are to then achieve the goals that I want to achieve.
I think when you do that, it also will make it easier for you to say yes to the catch-up call or no, depending on what your core values are. And you have to ask yourself, do I feel like every day is a sprint and there's not enough time for me to breathe? If yes, you probably need more space and time for yourself, which I think you taking the Hormozi route of scheduling out your day, I think is going to be a great first starter, but I think that will give you a lot more inner peace, honestly.
I'm doing it.
How we feel?
Feel good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Founders Podcast, go listen. Me and Mark are going to keep chatting about this.